This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, the stats tell me we'd be 8th in the league going off them 19 games. That's okay. That's a position that shows that there's been progress, but it also shows that there's work to do. There's improvements in areas that we can both push and guide moving forward. And I think the 19 games have been really interesting. Certainly, from my point of view, I've learned an awful lot about the players individually and collectively. But we very much know where we are. We've made progress. We've done okay. But there's still room to improve and get better. That's the exciting part. We want the players to help move the club forward. We want them to be obsessed with getting better individually. We want them to contribute individually and collectively to keep moving the club forward. Everyone needs to be obsessed with trying to make this club and move this club forward, because that's the way we are and that's the way we want to be.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's something for the weekend time. I'm David Michael, your host. Joining me, as usual, for something for the weekend, Mr. Chris Budge.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. I just had a quick day trip to Dublin this week, so I got to taste, it's about a few years since I've been there, 5, 6, 7 years. So I got to taste Guinness as God made it, which is always a pleasure.
Oh, lovely.
What have you been up to?
Cracking on, mate. Doing voiceovers this week for the album.
Can we do some voiceovers for all of us on this podcast?
Just the whole thing.
Just
David, the voice of God.
All our voices. We need to get Phil Shaw a Brummy accent, I feel. I think the Irish accent, I think we just lose about like 30% of our potential listeners with that, I think. So if you could get a voiceover for that, much obliged.
Wants me to give us a bit of a global market.
Yes, indeed. And probably make Dan Rogers' voice female, just to make sure we're diversifying.
Can you imagine?
And are inclusive.
A female version of Dan Rogers. There's a prospect for a podcast.
So yes, please, once you finish with your voiceovers, I'll just send you all the audio
Noted.
Files for every podcast we've ever done. Right, cracking on. If this is your first taste of the My Old Man Said podcast, this is just our little sharpener for the weekend. The full show is another thing altogether. So do check the podcast feed to see when the last, I think it's episode 183 is the last main show. And if you're a patron, you've got a few extra shows this week. I think I put out 4 so far in the last few days. So if you're interested in becoming a My Old Man Said patron and getting access to those shows, and also joining us for Match Club during the Wolves game, which we'll be talking about in a second, do go to myoldmansaid.com and click on the patron link to join us there. Also, this episode is being brought to you by Penfold, the pension experts for the self-employed and pensionless. I actually signed up to Penfold and sorted out my pension as a self-employed person myself during lockdown, when I realized it might be a good idea to sort out my long-term finances, which is something I kind of focused my old man said on, rather than the whole gambling route that seems to be de rigueur with the old football media. This seems a lot more constructive. So if you are in a position where you're like self-employed, or maybe you've got like a side hustle or something, it's definitely worth checking out Penfold at getpenfold.com/moms, M-O-M-S, and using the code MOMS. And when you sign up and fund your pension fund, you will get an extra bonus £50 as well. I mean, the main benefits of having a pension is you get 25% government tax bonus on everything you put in. You also get compound interest from an expertly managed fund. So all the money you put in is gaining that interest from the investment. You have a choice of several risks and several funds, and BlackRock is the main funds, but it's also ethical funds, etc., that you can choose from. And essentially, you're running your pension from your phone. It's as easy as that, and only takes about 5 minutes to set up. As with all investments, though, your capital is at risk, and the value that you put in may go down as well as up. Actually, this is a good time to sign up as well, because this month they're actually giving away $40,000 to a Penfold pension holder. And if you sign up, you get 25 entries to, it's essentially a raffle for the $40,000 that's put in your pension. The deadline for that is April the 5th. So you need to get your skates on for that. So that's just a little bit of sprinkle of incentive to join up now. And if you've already downloaded the app but haven't funded your account, it's probably a good idea to do that now before that date, if you were thinking of starting your pension. So once again, getpenfold.com/moms, M-O-M-S. Use the code MOMS and get all the details there. Thank you very much. Right, you know how we like to start something for the weekend. How do we like to start it?
With a fancy watch, of course.
Well, no, we like a Villa Minute.
We do like a Villa Minute.
Where we sum up what's been happening well, over the international break. Since we last played against Arsenal, seems such a long time ago in this stop and start season. Who's sponsoring the Villa Minute this week?
This week we're back with the wonderful people from Hublot, who've sent us a nice pair of the iconically designed Big Bang MP11 timepieces. Very nice, these ones. Bit of a statement watch, these ones, if you've seen the picture.
Big Bang, what does that refer to? It says here, boasts an astonishing power reserve of 14 days. Is it an electronic watch? What's this? You haven't shown me this. I wondered why you hadn't sent me anything. I thought you were doing a bit of a side hustle on this.
Click on the link.
I'm a bit dubious. I'm just reading, like, power reserve of 14 days and then rainbow alligator strap. I haven't seen many rainbow alligators in my life.
Well, that's what we want.
I would prefer, like, a unicorn strap. Okay. A rainbow unicorn strap.
Unicorn hair, isn't that? Sounds very Harry Potter.
The only other thing about this watch I'm a bit dubious about, Chris Budd, is this 48 baguette cut coloured gemstone. How do you cut diamonds with a baguette?
Well, now that's really that's craftsmanship, isn't it? For that extra bit of va-va-voom.
I used to live in Paris, and I've never heard of people cutting diamonds with a baguette.
Maybe it's un baton.
Or it says baguette in their press release.
Wow.
Right, anyway, I think we should move on to matters of Villa. Let's see what this baguette cut rainbow alligator strap watch can do in a Villa Minute. Right, generating rainbow power. Eating a baguette. Go.
Prior to the international break, Villa were looking to get back on track after the West Ham defeat against the re-energised and upwardly mobile Arsenal. Buendia returned to the starting lineup, as did Ashley Young, as SG changed shape. With Villa's previously good record against the Gunners at home, positivity was in the air, but the top four Arsenal team are a different beast this season. Organised and sharper, Arteta's side were dominant in possession, and it came as little surprise when Saka lashed home the first half opener. It was a familiar Villa Park scenario of this season, some questionable refereeing and some even more questionable passing from Villa's misfiring and largely passive midfield. While Villa's defensive organisation improved in the second half, it would prove proved to be yet another frustrating afternoon on home soil as they clocked up their sixth home defeat of the season. Only Ollie Watkins' snapshot off the post and their first shot on target from a Coutinho injury time free kick provided the Villa faithful with any excitement. Villa's record against the top eight continued the trend of the season with only one win against the so-called big boys. The international break, however, proved fruitful for many of Villa's international players, with Watkins and Mings netting for England against Ivory Coast, Jacob Ramsey scoring a stunner for the under-21s, McGinn stood out again for Scotland with a goal assist, and congratulations to the Polish Cafu as Matty Cash and his Poland side qualified for the World Cup in Qatar, beating Robin Olsen and Sweden. Coutinho was amongst the goals for Brazil, as was Bailey for Jamaica, both converting penalties. Domestic matters now return with Villa, close to full strength, heading to Molineux to take on the Dogheads to hopefully banish the nightmare of what happened in the reverse fixture at Villa Park.
Oh, don't mention that. Oh, that felt more like a Villa hour, to be honest, but never mind. This rainbow...
It's a bit slow to watch, isn't it?
I'm gonna say, I think we should send that back, actually. My baguette's a bit stale.
Ugh.
Right, Ramsey never scores a dud, does he?
He just does he ever score from inside the box? Does he know what a tapping is?
He's got
similarities
to how Gerrard used to strike the ball, to be honest, which is a good sign. But let's not forget those sloppy passes in his own half against Arsenal before everybody makes him England captain. He's still a work in progress, which people do forget about.
The signs are good. The signs are good.
Yeah, the signs are very good. Way above our expectations, I think, as any Villa fan. If you track back 12 months ago. But it does happen with players, promising players. Yeah. There'll be a purple patch of a few months where they really kick on. The stars align and off they go.
They get that little thing that just ignites them into life, don't they? Because for a while we didn't quite know what he was going to, where his position would be. And then now he's like, wow, pushed on.
But there is a thing about the Villa midfield is when you're getting into games like Arsenal, like West Ham and the Wolves game that we're going to have, in these tougher, tighter tussles, you need your midfield not to make unforced errors. And once that's in his game, then he should be quite a player.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to the Gerrard press conference. It's, I think these pre-match press conferences will soon be after the game. They're getting later and later.
Very inconvenient, Villa, come on.
The main thing we obviously look at these press conferences for is mainly the injuries, because everything else is, it's all just...
hot air?
Yeah, hot air. Lucas Digne, as we've seen, got 90 minutes with France. He was always being earmarked for that second game, and I think that's best case scenario, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Playing actually the whole game. Which would get him back. And he's come back a lot quicker than we expected, as we said previously. There were some doom and gloom tweets coming out from Villa's social media team, and there was this kind of consensus that it was a long-termer, but it seems to be okay. Speaking of long-term, Marvellous Nakamba, who impressed at the start of Gerrard's tenure here at Villa, looks like he's going to be playing for the under-23s as opposed to featuring for the full Villa team. I can't see him, if he's going to play, let's say, an hour for the under-23s on a Friday night, I can't see him being in the matchday squad the next day.
No, they probably want to get him ready for Tottenham next week, where I'd imagine he'll be in the squad.
Yeah, for sure.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Oh, I think the most interesting thing I got from that press conference was Gerrard admitting that he had voted for the five substitutions. It's something we voted for as the manager. As a manager, you want to be able to use as much of your talent as possible, and we want to have pathways for our youngsters. This is something that Dean Smith voted against, if my memory serves me.
He certainly came out publicly and spoke against it.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's an indication of we're going to get a few more, let's say a bit more quality depth to our squad, because it only works. I mean, it serves up such a big advantage to the top three or four teams that have got elite level match day squads across the board.
Especially City and Chelsea, who have got like pretty much two international players in every position.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is one of these things where if Klopp, the likes of Klopp and Guardiola just keep going on about it, and it'll be resisted initially, but eventually they'll get their way. And, they frame it, the welfare of the players. And then
don't make any changes.
It's fucking tactical advantage is the bottom line. Yeah, there's been a bit of that. I mean, there's been a bit of hypocrisy, hasn't there, in the...
Was it City a couple of weeks ago? They played at Palace, drew the game, and had an absolutely ludicrous quality bench and didn't use any
of it. Seen it where, like, Pep or Klopp's come out publicly, it's moaning about fixture congestion and then not rotated their team.
I think that's
whatsoever.
Just to prove a point, though.
Yeah, I mean, the only way this works for Villa is if they have a solid depth of squad, because if you've seen our bench even this season, there's been games where they've been pretty weak.
Very and, young as well, the bench.
There's been a few players that, you know, certain Villa fans wouldn't have heard of sitting on the bench, which is never a sign that it's going to work out to your advantage having five subs. But anyway, the die is cast. It's a big advantage for those top four or so teams for sure. Anything else from the press conference that perked your interest?
Just sort of predictably, he obviously sees there's a chance to claw some points back, but with the amount of points we'd have to claw back to rein in Wolves, I think it ain't going to happen. I wouldn't, unless something absolutely catastrophic happened for Wolves, I think we'll be finishing beneath them now.
The only way you could convince me we're going to finish higher than Wolves is if we beat them and then beat Spurs the next week.
Yeah, because we do have the game in hand, but you'd need Wolves to kind of really blow up at the same time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and, you know, we've got to play City, we've got to play Liverpool,
Tottenham, and playing
Spurs,
well.
Who I've just mentioned.
Burnley twice, who are fighting.
Yeah, and of course you've got to remember the relegation teams would be battling away, so never say never, but there's nothing really that much to gain finishing above Wolves. It's not an obsession or anything, so it's no real big deal. The main thing for Villa is to finish ninth or tenth, yeah. Just finish in the top half. Ultimately, wouldn't be seen as progress, not for where the progress was meant to take us, but the likes of Purslow
and
Gerrard,
at least,
we'll be able to sleep at night knowing at least they've moved an inch forward.
Yeah.
Wolves manager, did he have anything to say?
I think he sort of said, obviously they haven't been in form particularly, so it's kind of two teams who've had a little bit of sort of fluctuating form recently. We've had injuries, they've got two big injuries. Obviously, I think it looks like Jimenez won't play, he's suspended, and Ruben Neves, who's probably their best player, he's out. Whether or not that's going to make any difference on the day, I don't know. He always does tend to play really well against Villa, though. He's a player who I really rate, to be honest. I think he's a cracking player.
Let's address the stat of the week now, or the stat, the big stat. What's it called?
Big stat.
The key stat, yep. The big stat. Wolves this calendar year have earned 21 Premier League points, and only Liverpool on 28 have a better record, which is impressive. But then you compare, you look at their current form, the last six games, and they've actually lost four of those last six.
And they've lost to some kind of teams beneath them at home. They're a little bit patchy at home. They look like they're a really good side on the break away from home, whereas they don't tend to be as strong at the Molyneux for some reason. I don't know.
Well, their away record's the fourth best in the league. So, they're Champions League material in terms of away form. And, it would be useful to have that away form if you're in like two-legged European games. But home obviously is where... we have a chance here, I think. We had a chance at Villa Park. We fucking threw it away after being 2-0 up with 10 minutes to go.
I think that will probably end up, we'll look back on that come May as probably one of the defining moments of the season, that game.
Well, it's like that, the relegation season when we were 2-0 up against Leicester?
Yeah.
It's these games do shift the momentum and the confidence.
And the manager out the door sometimes.
Yeah, it's the psychological impact cannot be underestimated. So looking at this, it's a strange one where Wolves have been very impressive this calendar year, but there's been a few chinks in their armour recently. Mm. And with a couple of big guns injured, this might actually be a decent opportunity. I mean, Villa have obviously coming off the back of two disappointing results. Is this the third time we've played away on the trot?
No, because we had Arsenal at home.
This is one of those where some people would take a draw here, but I think there's a chance here just from the fact that Wolves have lost four of the last six and, you know, the likes of Neves won't be there.
Yeah, I mean, last season's game was probably the epitome of a smash and grab, wasn't it? They battered us for 90 minutes. We got a penalty in stoppage time and El Ghazi duly dispatched it. That was a game, I think, when we all stood up and thought, wow, Martinez is truly world class here. I remember he made about three or four like really top quality saves that day.
Yeah, and you know, that's where he earned his corn, basically, mm-hmm. isn't it? These are the games, and that's what I was saying about the midfield being a bit slapdash and giving a ball away too much. You know, if you're doing that in the scenario of when we were at Molineux last season, you're not going to win that game. You've got to be tight at the back if you're going to do a smash and grab.
And as you said, you got to be doing that if you want to do better against the top eight sides. And this season, you know, especially compared to last, our record against the so-called bigger sides, or the teams above us at least, is pretty woeful, bar the win at Man U, the win at Old Trafford.
Interesting Danny Ings stat, isn't there?
Yeah.
Against the Wolves.
Yeah, obviously scored in the last two games against Wolves, but has ended on the losing side on both occasions. I think there's only three players to have done that in three consecutive games and lost: Matt Letizier, Rod Wallace, and Ashley Barnes, the most recent. So that could be an interesting stat that Danny Ings doesn't want to join that.
Leave him on the bench, is what I say. Would you return back to Ings and Watkins up front? I'd be tempted to, actually.
I'd hit the refresh button, especially now you know you're going to have Luca Digne back, so you get a little bit of impetus from fullback. And I think Cash will be buzzing after his exploits with, you know, Poland in midweek, so I think you can offer a little bit more punch, and of course you don't have to worry about the threat going the other way of Adama Traore anymore, which would have, I think, you know, in previous games he would have really pinned back, you know, what would have been Matt Target last season, and probably earlier this season as well. You know, you'd be thinking about the counter attack and guys who can run in behind you. I think you can kind of you can kind of be a little bit more positive, I think, this time round, but be conscious of Wolves, you know, on the break.
Yeah, they haven't really suffered from getting rid of Traore, although I thought he was a good option for them. I mean, I think he's
They'd
a good option to have in your match.
Choice.
Yeah, I think he's an option to have in your match day squad for sure. Even
I don't think he's a starter.
I mean, there's argument. I mean, we're talking if you were at, let's say, a top six team.
He's a weapon, isn't he, basically? You can sort of throw him on and he'll change the game every now and then. But his end product is just so hit and miss that I think he's gone for a more, maybe a slightly more pragmatic approach, and it seems to have worked for Wolves this year. Now, they're very solid at the back, as they often have been since they've come up.
Because, you know, many people will hold their hands up and say once Nuno was gone, you'd think they'd struggle, but
it looked to begin with like they would, and then they kind of got their house in order, didn't they, around about the time they came to Villa Park and won. They went on that crazy winning run. It catapulted them up the table.
Of course, Molineux hosting some England games.
Yeah, it's got some of the women's Euros, hasn't it? And then I think England play there twice in the Nations League in June against Italy and Hungary.
The Custard Bowl gets a bit of glamour in the next few weeks, starting off with obviously Villa visiting there. Right, we'll keep this short and sweet since the game is nearly upon us. Just we like to close by asking the question, if we were to improve our first 11 and could poach one player from the opposition, who are we poaching? To me, it's pretty obvious.
Neves, wouldn't you, surely?
Yeah, I mean, to stop him doing any damage to us.
Twice a season.
Pretty much. Yeah. And B, where would he play, though? He's like...
In a current setup, you'd play him over Luiz. He does what Luiz does, but better. He's more controlled on the ball. He's better in the tackle. He's physical. He's got a bit of a nasty streak to him. And he's that guy who can run a game for you. I don't necessarily think he's an out-and-out six. I think he's more of an eight, isn't he? But you can kind of play him in that role. Or you'd play maybe alongside McGinn if you brought in someone.
And he's got the, offensively, he's got that end product in terms of his shooting that we thought that Luiz was bringing to the party from the early games that we saw. I mean, he hit two screamers and then we never saw him shoot again on target from, 30 yards or so.
No. And he's very good at set pieces.
Another thing that Luiz, we were expecting more from. But that is the thing, just talking about Neves's qualities, some of those qualities you were hoping from Luiz, we saw them early doors and then no sign of him. I don't know if that's because they've been trained out of him at Bodymore Heath.
Maybe he's just confidence, I don't know.
There's a few players that came in good and then after a few months at Bodymore Heath left half the player they used to be.
Illustrious list.
It happens. But I think that's the interesting thing about Douglas Luiz. It's one of those, in terms of new contracts, I don't think Villa are convinced that maybe he's the man because obviously they've been chasing somebody who ultimately would probably take his place in the first 11. And maybe Luiz doesn't 100% think he's getting the love here. And, you know, for example, if Coutinho doesn't continue at Villa next season, then that's another reason where Luiz, you know, he's losing another Brazilian and he probably, you know, quite liked having Coutinho around the place. So that might be another reason for him to think about pastures elsewhere if those new contract terms aren't going the way that he perhaps would like. And then if Villa suddenly bring in somebody for the DM position, he might do a Matt Target and poo his pants a bit.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
Well, we'll leave it at that, shall we?
That's a good place to end.
Right, that just leaves me to say, hopefully we can channel the power of Bjarnason and gun down the dog heads, make short work of them, and get out of the custard bowl with 3 points.
Amen to that.
Right, that's it. We've got to go. Bye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.